All right, everyone. Well, welcome. It's 7 o'clock. And a few more people coming in. We'll let these last few people come in.
Can I hear my name?
Yes, we're taking your name in vain.
I didn't realize it was so late already.
It's time. So, welcome to Meditation 101. If you are here for something other than Meditation 101, I'm sorry, I can't help you with that.
Now's your chance to leave.
Yeah. My name's Scott Miller, and I'll be leading the class this evening. Welcome. Come on in, everyone. So this is Jill Marie. She is our center manager, and I think she wanted to say hello to everybody.
Hello, everybody.
Good.
Yeah, I'm just here to say hey, and what else do we say? So we've already had a lovely donation appear. That was awesome. That's
wonderful.
Normal before the class. I love it. So I want to let you know that all the classes are offered. Scott will talk about this too at the end, but I always put a little plug in, that all our classes are offered on a donation basis. And so we usually tease about the price of therapy, but if you feel like if this is valuable, then you can feel free to donate. There's a box back there, one on the desk in the front. You can do it online. What else? So are you going to talk about the facility? You're going to do all the bathrooms?
Yeah. I'll do all that stuff.
Okay. How'd you get him to sit so orderly? It's like,
I don't know. You guys did that. I haven't said anything to him yet.
This is so, it's not usually like that.
Uh-huh.
This might be a unique class, Scott.
Yeah.
They might go places with their mind. Yeah, good. So how many people are brand new to the center? Awesome. Usually we have a lot of new people for this one. And we have someone here that hasn't been here since 07, so that's really cool. We got her back.
Yep.
And people who've been here before, I recognize you guys already, so that's cool. And what else are we talking about? Sometimes we do encourage you to look at, if you're interested, then there's other ways that you could tap into the center. Even if you aren't interested in donating or it's a little difficult right now, you can even see me, you can call me or email me, and we can talk about ways that you might like to even volunteer. I know you're brand new, and that might be a little weird to hear, but there's lots of things you can do at the center. You could pick up sticks, or you could have an entire position. There's from all the way from the beginning to the end. So if you are interested in things like that, you can contact me. That's pretty much it. I just wanted to say welcome, and you have 5 weeks with this wonderful man and his teachings. We do encourage you to try to stick with all 5 weeks, even if it's tight, gets tight, like stick with it, because a big commitment to working on your mind will change the rest of your life. So if life gets busy, just say, I'm going to give these 5 weeks no matter what to this class and see what happens at the end and how far you can go with your dedication to meditation. So that's it. Have a good time. Thanks.
Thank you, Jill. All right. A couple of housekeeping things to cover. I'm sure as you came in, Tony and Jill probably told you where the restrooms are. They're right outside and to the left. This is not formal at all. Feel free to get up if you need to and stretch, or get up and go outside, use the restroom if you need to make a call or something. That's just come and go as you please. One thing I'm going to ask you guys to do me a favor, if you would. This is a pretty big room, and we can fit a lot more people in here than are in here right now. So if you'd like to come a little closer and like sit in some of these chairs, if you don't mind being off to the side, if you really want to be right in the center, that's fine. But sometimes it's nice if the people who are in the back, you know, move up a little bit, just so we're not kind of shouting at each other across the room. If you want to stay in the back, that's fine, if you can be like in the back of the front. Another thing while you're getting up that's really helpful is if you're going to sit in a chair, if you're a little shorter and your feet don't reach the ground all the way when you're sitting in a chair, if they're not comfortably touching the ground, you can get one of these cushions that we have all over the place and just put it, you know, in front of your chair so that when you're sitting in the chair, your feet rest comfortably on the cushion, just so your feet aren't dangling when you're sitting. There's absolutely, we have a lot of people, the cushions are almost full, that's excellent. Absolutely positively no reason why you have to sit in a cushion for this class. So if you're comfortable sitting on a cushion, that's wonderful. If you're not, please, please, please get up and sit in a chair and be comfortable, because you're not meditating if you're not comfortable. You're doing something, but it's not meditation if you're not sitting comfortably. Front row's fine. Yep, please do. It's all fair game. Let's see, other housekeeping stuff. Cell phones, if you would, please switch your cell phones to meditate mode, quiet mode, whatever that is. If there's something like you got kids at home or you're waiting for an important phone call, and if the thing buzzes and you need to get up and step outside and take a call, that's fine. Otherwise, as silent as possible is really helpful. I put mine on airplane mode so it doesn't even buzz while I'm in here. So let's see. Yeah, so my name's Scott Miller, and I've been coming here to Kadampa Center for, since like 2007. studying Buddhism on my own for a while before that. And I've studied, been interested in meditation for a really long time, studied it kind of through some other different disciplines like yoga, martial arts, things like that. And just very fortunate to have found this place and to be able to come here and study. We have some really amazing teachers here. I'm not one of them. I just cut the grass and do these like very basic beginner level courses because that's well within my range. But we do have some really wonderful people here who have been studying Buddhism for a very long time. And if you're interested in sticking around, you know, they teach other classes too that you can continue with after this. Let's see, what else? So what I think is nice to do, since we have, you know, a bunch of people, maybe you're new to the center. How many people said you're completely new to Kadampa Center, first time at Kadampa Center? Okay. All right, great. How many people do we have who are, maybe whether or not it's your first time here, totally new to meditation, where you haven't, like, done any meditating at all, don't really know anything about it? Okay. So do we have anybody on the other end of the spectrum who's been studying meditation for a while, some form of meditation, and maybe you do it on a regular basis? Do we have anybody like that? Okay, a couple? Good. Good, great. So I think kind of a nice way to start this is to get to know some of the people around you. So why don't we all take a minute and just turn to the people immediately around you and introduce yourself. It's just kind of nice just to say hello. My name's Scott.
I'm Ashley.
Ashley, nice to meet you. Hello. Hi, I'm Scott.
I'm Dorothy.
Dorothy, nice to meet you. Thanks for coming. Hey.
I'm Alex.
Alex, I'm Scott. Nice to meet you. No, you don't need anything. You know, you're fine. Just sit there and listen and whatever works for you. Do you want a cushion to put under your feet so that when you're fine? Okay. You can rest? Okay, good. All right. Somebody's had a chance to say hello to a few people. That's great. So what we're going to start with is kind of a brief overview of meditation, just talk about meditation in general. And so I'm going to ask you guys, what is meditation? How do we define it? Like, do you have a definition for it, what it is, how you do it? Yes. And, oh, one thing, I totally forgot. Thank you, Chris. So this is one of the things we do for this class is we are streaming this out because there are sometimes people who can't come to the center for various reasons, but they want to watch the classes. We do record them, so like, let's say you guys can't come next week. There is a way to access the recording, so if you miss a week, you can listen to the recording of it. So that's why we use the microphone, because if we don't use the microphone, then anyone listening to the streaming or listening to the recording will hear absolutely nothing when you speak, no matter how loudly you project your voice. So if you have the microphone, just hold it up to your mouth like an ice cream cone and speak into it, and we'll be able to hear you perfectly.
Well, for me, it's a way of stilling the mind so that I feel like I may tap into the universal spirit.
Okay. Does anyone else have it? Yeah, can we pass the mic? You guys can pass it around, or Chris. Oh, Chris is my microphone master tonight. Excellent.
So, for me, it's like catching, like when I meditate, it's like catching my mind wandering and bringing myself back to where I'm at so I can learn to be more present.
Okay, excellent. All right. What else? Anyone else? I can pass that around.
Thank you.
Anyone else have any ideas? Yes, sir.
I think it might be a little bit like stilling the mind, but I think what I'm trying to do is just make the mind not busy.
Hmm. Make the mind not busy? Okay. Good. So, interesting thing to know about meditation is that people have been practicing meditation for thousands of years. And I think we don't always kind of think of this when we think about meditation. But so, we have a statue up here of Shakyamuni Buddha, and we have some pictures of him up here, like the The one right over there, actually these two are both representations of Shakyamuni Buddha. So he lived in India about 2,500 years ago. He was a prince who became like a wandering holy man, wandering teacher, spiritual seeker. And so he wandered around India for most of his life, practicing and teaching different types of meditation that, you know, eventually became the basis for a core part of what we now call Buddhism. And what he was practicing and teaching were the meditations that he was practicing, that he was teaching, were based on existing traditional Indian methods of meditation that had been around for like 2,000 years before he was born. So, you know, over 4,000 years that these techniques have been around, that human beings have been practicing these different techniques. And, you know, the Buddha was just one of many teachers who took existing meditation techniques and kind of went their own way with them and turned them into something new and, you know, a new type of practice. Other teachers have done the same thing. So the end result is that there are many, many teachers who have been teaching meditation to different people in different ways for different reasons for thousands of years. So, you know, if the point of it is, if we're going to talk about a specific type of meditation here, a specific, you know, types of meditation that come from a specific tradition. And so if you are somewhat familiar with meditation, or if you have some ideas, existing ideas of what it's about, and what we talk about in this class is nothing like what you're thinking, that's totally fine. It's just, you know, there are different ways of doing it. It's been taught different ways for different reasons. So, you know, thinking about meditation in terms of like right and wrong isn't generally helpful, right? There's just different ways to do it. What we suggest is, you know, try what we do here, give it a try. If you find some of the things that we practice here helpful, keep doing them, keep practicing them. If there's anything that you find isn't really helpful to you or you're not really sure what to think about it, just set it aside. You know, we say like put it aside for a while, maybe come back to it later and try it again later or not. And so just by way of you know, telling you a little bit about the particular types of meditation that we're going to practice here and where they come from. So Kadampa Center, this center is a Tibetan Buddhist meditation center, Dharma, called Dharma Center. We're part of the Gelug School of Tibetan Buddhism, which is one of the four main schools of Tibetan Buddhism. And the leader of the Gelug School is the Dalai Lama, whose picture you see the three pictures hanging there above those statues, his picture's in the middle. We have some larger pictures of him out in the lobby. And this particular center is also part of an organization called the FPMT, the Foundation for the Preservation of the Mahayana Tradition. And that organization was started by Lama Yeshe, Lama Tubten Yeshe, whose picture is to the left of the Dalai Lama, and his student, Lama Zopa Rinpoche, whose picture is to the right of the Dalai Lama. So Lama Yeshe passed away a number of years ago. Lama Zopa Rinpoche is still alive and still the leader of our organization. We have two Tibetan monks who are our resident teachers here. We're actually very fortunate. A lot of Western Buddhist centers don't have, or Tibetan Buddhist centers don't actually have Tibetan monks as their resident teachers, but we do. We have two. And so they're Geshe Gelug and Geshe Tsangpo are our two resident teachers, resident monks. And they've been studying Buddhism since they were little kids, literally. They went into the monastery when they were both very young kids, little mini monks, and started studying Buddhist philosophy and meditation then, and now they're, you know, in their 40s and they're here teaching us. So they've got a lot of experience with meditation and this philosophy. This isn't a course on Buddhism, by the way. You know, we have separate courses if you want to learn about Buddhism, but just by way of explaining where the particular types of meditation that we talk about in this class come from. That's where they come from. One of the things that Geshe Gelug says all the time is, you know, he always says, I'm just saying what has already been said. All of this that I'm telling you has already been taught 2,500 years ago. You know, sometimes he kind of jokes around and says, I didn't just make this up last night. So it's kind of useful to know that, you know, the techniques that we teach here have been practiced and tested by many, many people for over 2,500 years and have been found to produce a benefit, to be beneficial. So, you know, when you're trying these things out for yourself, you kind of have this idea that other people have tried this and found it to be a benefit. So at least worth trying out. I'm going to try to do the same thing as Geshe Gelug and just teach what I've been taught and just explain what I've been taught. I'm not going to do as good of a job as he does, though, because he's a much better teacher than I am. So, you know, I'm going to unfortunately probably interject some of my own opinions and ideas in here, but I'm going to try to, as much as possible, just share with you, you know, what I've learned here from our other teachers. Most important thing is to ask questions, you know, try things out for yourself. Don't believe anything that I say just because I'm the guy sitting up in front leading the class. This is about trying things, your own experience with these meditation techniques and figuring out what's helpful to you and, you know, setting aside stuff that isn't. So you guys ready to try a meditation, a little short meditation, see what this is all about? Okay. So, to do this, you just want to sit comfortably. And as far as how you sit, we'll talk a little bit more about like actual sitting posture later. If you're sitting on a cushion, sit in whatever position's comfortable for you. If you're sitting in a chair, try to have both feet flat on the ground, or if your feet don't reach all the way to the ground. If you sit comfortably cross-legged in the chair, that's fine too, whatever's comfortable for you. If you have your legs down, just try to have them touching the ground or have a cushion under your feet if you need that. Whether you're sitting in a cushion or in a chair, the most important thing is to have your back straight. Try to sit up nice and straight. Sometimes we say, like, imagine you're like a puppet, a marionette, and there's a string lifting up just in the crown of your head. You don't want to be like real rigid and stiff, but just very upright and straight. Feel like your body's kind of like a, you know, hanging off of your spine, off of your spine and your shoulders, sitting very upright. If you're sitting in a chair, it can be helpful to not like slouch and lean back against the chair. Just sit up straight so that your body is being supported by your spine. And then just take a moment, and you can have your eyes closed or your eyes just, you know, open, whatever is more comfortable for you. Some people find if they have their eyes closed, it's less distracting. If you have your eyes open, just have them gently open and just kind of staring vaguely out in front of you, about 6 feet out in front, not really looking or focusing on anything, just letting your gaze rest out in front of you. And take a moment to pay attention to just what's going on in the room around you. Whatever sensations you notice. Is it warm? Is it cool? Are there any sounds that you notice? And then focus for a moment on how you feel. Are you warm? Are you cold? Are you comfortable? If you need to wiggle around a little bit and get comfortable, then get comfortable. And then focus your attention on your breathing and just breathe naturally. Notice the rising and falling of your shoulders and chest as you inhale and exhale. Or just wherever you notice yourself breathing, maybe you notice the air passing in and out of your nose. Just allow your mind to settle and become calm and present. Take a moment to think that, you know, you're doing something very good for yourself by being here. A lot of things we could have been doing this evening, but you chose to be here to maybe learn something that will benefit you, maybe benefit other people as well. Try to think about that, how being here is both beneficial to you and possibly will help you be of more benefit to other people. And focus your attention on your physical body. Make sure you're trying to sit up nice and straight, not stiff, just sitting up straight. And focus your attention on the lowermost point of your body, where your body's in contact with the earth. Whether it's your feet, if you're sitting in a chair, or sitting on a cushion, the lower part of your body, touching the ground. Feel the substance of your body touching the earth. Concentrate for a moment on that contact, on the weight and substance of your physical form. Notice the character of your mind, your awareness while you're focusing here. How does your mind feel while you're focusing there? Very slowly move your attention upward through your body. Pay close attention to every aspect of your body, all your physical sensation, Notice any areas of tension. Relax them if there are any areas of tension. Notice sensations of coolness or warmth. Notice places where one part of your body is touching another. Move upward through your legs, through your hips, your hands on your lap or on your knees. Note the curves of your body's silhouette. Move upward, notice your belly, your waist, curves of your arms. Continue moving upward. Notice the rising and falling of your chest as you breathe. The curves of your shoulders. Are your shoulders relaxed? Are they tight? Continue moving upward slowly, mindfully. Pay attention to your shoulders, neck, and jaw. If you notice any tension, try to relax those areas. Continue moving upward. Notice the tilt of your head until you reach the crown of your head. Just allow your attention to rest at the crown of your head for a moment. Pay attention to the character of your mind, of your awareness, your consciousness while focusing there. How does your mind feel now? What do you notice in your mind now as you rest your attention on the crown of your head? Does your mind seem different concentrating here than it was when you were focusing on the lowermost part of your body? If it's different, what differences are there? And slowly move your attention back downward through your body in the same way. Slowly, mindfully, noting everything about your body as you move your attention back downward. And just at your own pace, bring your attention all the way back down to the cushion or the floor where your body is in contact with the earth. So again, focus your concentration on that point. Notice the character of your mind now, the character of your consciousness, your awareness. Notice the nature of your mind when you're concentrating here, any differences from when your mind was concentrating at the crown of your head. Take a moment to dedicate any positive energy, any positive efforts, any insights to the well-being and happiness of all living beings. Bring your attention back into the room. So, how was that? Anybody have any, it can be very interesting. Where'd the mic go? We're going to stick off the mic. Well, it's interesting sometimes to think about and share your experiences. Anything that, you know, was interesting or that seemed to go well that you enjoyed about that meditation? Anything that was challenging or difficult? Does anybody have anything they want to share? Yes.
Sorry.
And make sure you hold the mic right
up. Okay, right like that?
Yeah, then we can
hear you. Okay, so I didn't really focus too well at the bottom when you started, but then as we went up to my head, it was
like just going up, mm-hmm. very light and pointing up, and then when bringing it back down, it's like just settling, more grounded, more, I mean, there was a total difference when mm-hmm. focusing on those two areas. That was pretty cool.
Oh, interesting, yeah. Does anybody else notice that difference? Just kind of a difference in the way you felt? Maybe a more open sensation when you were concentrating on your crown, a more heavy, grounded sensation focusing on the bottom? Okay. Anybody notice anything? And you didn't, that's fine. Anybody notice anything different? Anything else you want to share? Yes, sir.
Thank you. What I thought was interesting was it was easy for me when I was focusing on the meditation. What was hard was the other thoughts that I was having.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only, for me, like, that's the thing that was hard to deal with, but when I was able to be focusing on the present, what you were saying, like, focus on your head, your, you know, whatever different parts of the body were, you know, that for me was easy.
Mm-hmm.
But I've done meditation before, but I just noticed that the distracting thing was the other thoughts I was having.
You know? Mm-hmm. Okay. Did anybody else find that? Did anybody else find you had other thoughts coming in, like that conversation you had earlier, and no, I got to go shopping tomorrow and get this, and yeah, okay, we're going to talk about that. That's actually part of meditation. It's part of what we're doing, is being aware of that. It's not necessarily a bad thing to be aware that those things are happening. Outside distractions, same way. So squirrel. Anything else? Yes, sir. Thanks.
So I think I've done some meditation before with yoga.
Mm-hmm.
I just noticed today that I'm just very fatigued and tired mm-hmm. mentally, and I was having a lot more trouble just focusing in general.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, obviously it's the same as everyone else. Like you're struggling with your thoughts, but
mm-hmm.
I just felt just really tired to even just sit up and like really get in that place right now.
Yeah. It's actually a very common, and we're going to talk about some antidotes to some of these things. If you're physically tired, mentally a little tired, you find yourself maybe sinking, feeling drowsy while you're trying to meditate, there are some antidotes to that. If you're feeling more, excited and easily distracted and every little sound, what's that? There are some antidotes to that too. So we'll talk about those things a little bit as we progress through the class. Okay, good, excellent. Okay. So we're going to try, with that in mind, we're going to try another meditation. Something kind of similar. You guys want to do another one?
Yeah.
Do another short, kind of short one like that? Okay. Okay. So again, get everybody, get comfortable. If you were sitting on a cushion and found that uncomfortable, get up in a chair. If you sit in a chair and want to try a cushion, you can do that too. If you were sitting in a chair or a cushion and want to adjust your position a little bit. With the cushions, if you're sitting on a cushion, it can be very helpful. So the cushions are helpful because they allow you to have your butt a little bit higher than your lower legs. And that allows your back to be straighter. And just a little bit more comfortable position. It actually helps to be sitting a little more on the front of the cushion. So if you're like way back on the cushion, that maybe will, you maybe find it a little more comfortable if you sit more just towards the front of the cushion. And then again, sit up straight. Not rigid. Shoulders back a little bit kind of helps. Again, your gaze just, if you want to have your eyes closed, have your eyes closed. If you have your eyes open, just, sometimes, ideally they say just slightly open, just enough to let in a little bit of light. That can be kind of hard to do in the beginning, so just let your gaze rest on, just the space out maybe 6 feet in front of you, not trying to really focus on anything. You can have your hands on your knees or just resting in your lap, whatever's comfortable. So again, take a moment to be aware of things going on around you in the room, noises, large freight trains. Is it warm? Is it cool? And kind of turn your attention inward to your body. Are you comfortable? Do you need to adjust at all? And let your attention rest on your breath and breathe naturally. I'm not trying to breathe any certain way. Just breathe. You might notice the rising and falling of your shoulders and chest as you inhale and exhale. You might notice the air moving in and out of your nostrils. Just again, let your mind settle on your breath. Become calm and present. And take a moment again to create an altruistic motivation. Think that you're doing this for your benefit. But also developing a calmer mind may help you be of benefit to others too. Let your attention focus and rest at the opening of your nostrils. Pay attention to the very subtle sensations as you breathe in and out through your nose. Maybe you feel sensations as the air passes. Small hairs move slightly. Maybe you notice cooler sensations as you inhale and warmer sensations as you exhale. We're not following the air into your body or out into the surrounding environment. Just rest your attention on the sensations right at the opening of your nostrils. So your job is to keep your attention firmly placed on those sensations. So as you exhale, and then inhale again, mentally count one. Each exhalation and then inhalation counts as one. You exhale again, inhale, that's two. Exhale again, and inhale, the inhalation, you count three. And you're simply going to count from 1 to 10, counting each breath on the inhalation, focusing on the sensations at the openings of your nostrils. You reach 10, begin again at 1. If you become distracted, if your mind wanders onto other things and moves away from the breath, from the point of concentration, then gently, without any further conversation about it, gently bring your attention back to your breath, back to the movement of the air at the tip of your nostrils, and begin again at 1. Even if you never get past two, it's not a problem. The point is to notice when your mind is wandering away from your breath and gently bring your attention back to that point. This can take some practice. Take a moment, dedicate any positive thoughts, positive energy, positive results from this meditation that we're practicing. Dedicate that to the well-being and happiness of all living beings. Just think of that for a moment. You can dedicate that energy out to the happiness and well-being of all beings. When you're ready, come on back. Bring your attention back to the room. So what do we think about that? Any comments? Any things that you found interesting, enjoyable, challenging?
Yeah.
What'd you think?
Well, what I found interesting, having done this before and not and then stopped doing it, how easy it was to find that place again.
Good.
But at the very end, when you said to let it go, it's just like I just felt this, like, it was really nice.
Mm-hmm. You know? Okay.
I'm surprised at how I came back to it.
Okay. Good.
Yeah.
I found it hard initially to concentrate on the breathing as opposed to the numbers.
Okay.
But that may just be a me thing. But I got there eventually. and it was nice. Helped almost thinking of it as like a sort of ball on the tip of your nose spinning one way and the other.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so a little bit more of an image. Okay, excellent. Anything else? Any other comments? Questions? Yeah.
I found it getting very peaceful and then not being able to actually count. Okay, 5, where am I? Five.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It was weird, mm-hmm. strange. It's the first feeling to just not, not that I'm falling asleep, but that I was not like being that conscious.
Mm-hmm.
The numbers.
Okay. All right. Anything else? All right. So, the Tibetan word for meditation is gom, and the literal meaning is familiarization. And that's kind of surprising to some people, because people, what does familiarization have to do with meditation, right? So what's the word familiar mean? I mean, think about it, like the literal meaning of the word familiar. Does anybody have a definition? I'll repeat it so that people can hear it if you don't want to use, you know, we won't pass the mic around that fast. But what's that? To know something is to be familiar with it. Okay, what else? Yes, sir?
Something you've dealt with in the past.
Something you've dealt with in the past, okay. You have past experience of it.
Something you're comfortable with.
Something you're comfortable with, okay. What else?
Something maybe you do unconsciously, so familiar.
So routine, almost unconscious, that's how common it is to you, okay. So the dictionary definition, New Oxford American Dictionary, for the English word familiar, is something well known from long or close association. Something that is often encountered or experienced, something that's common to you. So that's what the word familiar is. And so that's what the word that they've chosen for to translate this word gom in Tibetan. They've chosen to translate it as familiar or familiarization. And this is the Tibetan word for meditation. So it could also mean like a habitual pattern of thought and behavior, something that's almost so habitual it almost is unconscious. Yeah. So in meditation, in this tradition, the Tibetan Buddhism, we're trying to become more familiar with the positive aspects of your mind and less familiar with the negative. So more familiar with things that bring happiness. We're talking about being positive in Buddhism, or in this tradition, we talk about being happy, right? That's what positive is, being positive is, something that brings positive states of mind or states of mind that bring happiness. We talk about negative states of mind, those are ones that bring suffering and unhappiness. And so we're trying to be more familiar with things that bring happiness, less familiar with things that bring suffering. And so we're very familiar with, you know, kind of the outer world, right? Things going on around us. But the idea is, a lot of people think that we need to become more familiar with our inner world, with the things going on in our mind, with our thoughts. And that this is a very important exercise, very useful thing to do. Because if you think about it, you know, a lot of us, maybe some are more, you know, through different experiences you've had in life, some people are more familiar than others, but a lot of us really aren't that familiar with what's going on in our heads. You know, our own inner mind, our own thoughts, our own emotions, they just kind of happen. But we don't always really think about why they happen or how they happen or whether we have any control over it. You know, we just kind of accept that whatever's going on in our mind is us, right? That we are our thoughts, or that it's just a normal reaction to whatever's going on around us. And we don't really take much time to question that. So one thing to realize about meditation, a couple things. Meditation is different from relaxation. The meditation that we talk about, you know, in this class is different from relaxation. You know, there are relaxation exercises that help us to feel better, be more healthy, maybe be more in the moment, more aware of the present moment. Excuse me. But the idea is that as human beings, we have amazing potential, amazing untapped potential. Amazing potential to have some more control over our thoughts and be able to have a little more control over whether we're thinking positive thoughts, thinking thoughts that bring us happiness, or whether we're more consumed by negative thoughts, things that are going to, you know, eventually lead to more unhappiness. And so the idea is that meditation can help us realize, actualize that potential we have to have a little more control, be a little more in the driver's seat when it comes to our mind and our thoughts. So this is the purpose of meditation, is to transform your mind. The purpose of meditation is to transform your mind by gradually decreasing the negative and the harmful, you know, thoughts that you have, and allow you to increase the positive, the beneficial aspects of your mind. Because the idea is we all have both going on in there, right? We've got all kinds of, one of our teachers, Venerable Vina, talks about all these thoughts that you have and emotions in your mind as the roommates, like a bunch of roommates in this house. And you have the calm, peaceful roommates and the helpful roommates, and then you have the crazy roommates. And we're trying to gradually, gently get the crazy roommates out of the house and bring in more calm, peaceful ones. I think it's a good analogy. What do you guys think about that? Any thoughts? Anything anybody wants to share? Has anybody had any experiences? You don't necessarily need to answer this. Just think about it. Have you had any experiences with your ability to maybe have a little more control over how you react in different situations? The kind of thoughts that you think? I mean, the one that comes to mind for me is driving. Because I grew up in New Jersey, and I learned to drive and kind of imitated the way I saw certain other people in New Jersey driving. And, you know, especially when I was younger, in my teens and 20s, I used a lot of hand gestures and words when I was driving that I won't repeat in here in front of the Buddhists. But, you know, it was always like what that person was doing to me, right? The person who cut me off, the person driving slow in front of me, it's what are they doing to me? Why are they doing that to me? And these are the thoughts that would pop in my mind, right? Why is that person doing that to me? How dare they? What are they thinking? And I remember, I can actually remember this happening. I'm driving along one, and I think I was trying to find an address or something, right? This is back in the old days when you used like maps and printed directions and not just your phone telling you where to go. And I was trying to find this place I was looking for, and I realized I was driving really slow, and the person behind me was like right up behind me. And I realized, rather than thinking, what are they doing tailgating me, I was thinking, you know, I bet they're irritated because I'm driving so slow. And then I realized, I bet some of those people that I have gotten so irritated about in front of me because they were driving so slow, I bet they were just doing the same thing. They weren't being jerks. It's not that they didn't know how to drive. They're just driving slow because they're looking for, you know, they're not from there, and they're looking for the address they're trying to find, right? So interesting change. And so, you know, there's kind of some steps that have to happen in order for you to change the way you think about things. You have to have that awareness of maybe that things aren't exactly the way you see them, right? There might be a little bit of a different scenario going on here. It's not that this person's trying to annoy me. It's not that they don't know how to drive. They have a pretty reasonable reason for driving slowly in front of me, and maybe I just need to chill out and not get so upset about it, right? But then the big challenge, so it's great to have that intellectual understanding, but the big challenge is the next time it happens to me, right? The next time somebody's driving slow in front of me, what am I going to do? Am I going to react the way I normally do through my normal habit that I've become familiar with? Or am I going to have a little bit of awareness to think differently and say, well, you know, remember that last time? Remember that person? Maybe remember when I was the person driving slow? Maybe that's what I'll think about this time and be a little more patient. So it's a process. You know, we are familiar. We have habits that we're very familiar with, ways of reacting to situations that we've practiced over and over and over again, maybe without realizing that that's what we were doing, that we were practicing, maybe without realizing there was a different way to react. So the idea, one of the things that we're trying to do in meditation is, you know, when these thoughts arise, right, you're sitting there trying to count your breaths, and great, I'm supposed to be counting my breaths, and all of a sudden there's this email that you need to write, and that pops into your head. Or this conversation that you had earlier today with somebody. Or this thing that you're going to do tomorrow. Or this thing you're doing when you're leaving tonight. These thoughts just pop into your head. And what you get a little practice doing, a little experience doing, which is not something that we normally do in everyday life, is saying, oh, well, wait a minute, that's just a thought. And I'm just going to let that thought go by and bring my attention back to something else. My breath, whatever I want to concentrate on. And so this idea that these thoughts are just going to pop up, because that's what your mind does, your mind creates thoughts, right? But it's really your decision, and you can learn and practice this ability to decide, am I going to follow that thought? Am I going to spend the next 5 minutes thinking about that email I'm supposed to write? Or am I going to let that thought go for now and come back to what I'm supposed to be doing or what I want to be doing right now, which is just sitting here focusing on my breath? And the idea is this is something you can bring into your everyday life. So when some thought arises that you don't necessarily find useful, like what's this person doing in front of me driving so slow, you suddenly have that awareness of, oh, wait a minute, I want to react differently to this. So it's kind of slowing your thoughts down and not automatically being drug around by them, you know, like a puppy being led around on a leash, which is the way we are very often by our thoughts. That's kind of what meditation is all about. Being more aware of how your mind works, more aware of these thoughts that pop into your mind and how they pop into your mind, and trying to you know, slow things down a little bit, be a little more aware of the thoughts when they arise, and then being able to make some decisions about whether you want to follow them or not. And it takes practice. This isn't something that, you know, I mean, you'll hear some people who've been meditating for years, these monks, these hermits, who go into these caves in India. They go to these places in India where you can literally go and sit in a cave for years, and people bring you food and do all these things for you so that you can just sit and meditate. You don't have any phones or anything. You just have your little bowl and your food and your cave, and that's it. You sit there and meditate. And there's guys that have been doing that, and they'll say, yeah, you know, I'm doing pretty good with my concentration meditation because I can count to three without any other thoughts popping into my head. You know, it takes time. It's not instant gratification. It's not, you know, do the Google search and get the answer right there. This is something you have to practice. But that's the point. When we talk about becoming familiar in meditation, this is what we're trying to do. Become more familiar with positive things. Become more familiar with our mind in general and how it works, how these thoughts arise and what they're doing in there. And then try to train yourself to become a little more familiar, a little more accustomed and habitualized to more positive thoughts, ones that you want, ones that will bring you more benefit and happiness. And let the less helpful ones, let the crazy roommates kind of decide this isn't where they want to be, and let them just kind of move out. Yes, sir. Let me give you the mic. I got a question. It's a good time to ask questions. Yes, sir.
Great, thank you. If during the meditation, you know, we notice a thought that comes up that's not related to the breathing, so we kind of think, you know, this is a thought, I'm going to let it pass,
mm-hmm.
and then come back to the breathing. And if that's what we're doing, how is that at the same time? I kind of am answering my own question in my head, but how is that at the same time training us to say, oh, okay, here's a positive thought, let me go with this, or here's a negative thought, let me discard this.
Mm-hmm.
If during the meditation itself, we're kind of not discarding all the thoughts because we're acknowledging them, letting them going by, but regardless of whether it's negative or positive, we're coming back to the breathing.
Mm-hmm.
Is it so that when we're not meditating, we can kind of become more familiar with what's positive and what's negative? Or, I mean, can you answer that?
Yeah, it's exactly it. It's to be able to apply this. So when we talk about this type of meditation that we're doing, this counting the breaths and being aware of thoughts as they arise and just bringing your attention back to the breath, this is called a concentration meditation. It's one of the main types of meditation that we do in this tradition. And the idea is to improve your ability to concentrate. Because most of us, well, I'm not going to speak for anybody in this room, I'm going to say I am very easily distracted by other thoughts that come up when I'm trying to do something, whether I'm trying to work on the computer or whether I'm trying to do something in my house or whether I'm trying to sit and meditate. Other thoughts come up. And, you know, maybe in the past I wouldn't have been as aware of, you know, oh, look, I'm supposed to be, you know, typing up this, doing this project for work, and here I am in my kitchen, you know, making another, and I really didn't want to do that. I wanted to wait until later to go clean the sink. But here I am doing that when I'm supposed to be doing that. Things like that. So we kind of get led around by our thoughts. And well, me, again, I don't have a really great ability to concentrate on the one thing that I'm doing. It's not something that comes naturally to me. So just like when you're driving, all you're doing is driving along in your car and everything's great, you just want to get where you're going, but then something happens and all of a sudden these other thoughts pop in, and maybe they're not really good ones because that's just the habit that you have. So the first step, it's a very step-by-step process. The first step is to simply be aware when this happens. Be aware when you're driving along and this intruding thought of what this person is like in front of you and how terrible they are pops in, when you really should just be calmly driving your car and not letting that bother you. So the idea is that that's a way to apply it in everyday life. Just to be able to focus on your task, whatever it is that you want to be doing right now, and not necessarily let these other thoughts pop up. Because once they're there, once you have the thought in your head that, oh, this person's a jerk and they're driving so slow in front of me, well, then, you know, the genie's out kind of out of the bottle then. But these things happen so quickly. The mind works so quickly. I mean, it's amazing when they talk in this tradition about how your mind works. Our minds are amazing, amazing things, and they work so, so quickly. But unfortunately, some of the work that they do isn't the work that we want them to be doing. So we have to kind of control our ability for these thoughts to pop up, or recognize that these thoughts do pop up quickly. And that's really what you're doing in this very calm, very easy place where you're sitting here, and that's all you have to do is concentrate on your breath, which is a very simple thing that's always there with you, and just be aware any thought, no matter what it is, when it pops up, and then just be able to let it go by and focus back on the breath. And then maybe later on, when your task, instead of watching your breath, is watching the road and driving your car, and that's all you should be doing, and this thought pops up, this angry thought about this person in the other car pops up, you can go, oh, wait, it's just like when I'm meditating. I can just let that go by and just drive my car and not let this person, for whatever reason, ruin my day, right? Or when you're having, you know, the conversation with the coworker and you're trying to keep it productive and that person just says that thing that irritates the heck out of you, instead of letting that thought of, oh, this person's a jerk pop up, you just kind of let that go and try to focus the conversation back where you want it. So that's kind of how they're connected. I don't know if I did a good job of explaining that, but that's how what we're doing here is connected to being, you know, having more beneficial thoughts, more positive thoughts.
And, you know, saying that, it helps lose the judgment.
Thank you.
Yeah, you know, with me doing the meditation has led me to a point where I don't have that judgment now, because I don't know why they're going slow, right? And mm-hmm. if that anger comes up, I don't like it anymore. It doesn't feel good.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, this kind of stuff has really taught me to be, I'm happier in my own skin, and I don't like that arousal that way anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And I never thought I could get it, you know, but I did get it. And not speculate and not assume and not have the sense of entitlement, like it's all about me. You know, it's mm-hmm. not all about me. It's about, you know, kindness. But I learned all that through, and I got a long way to go, and mm-hmm. I want to learn more, but that calmed me down, you know, because mm-hmm. it was gone all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, you're right on the money. I mean, that's it. Like, I'm telling you that's it, right?
Well, I'm just telling you what people told me, so. No, but this is what happens, right? You practice a little bit, and then you start to see little bits and pieces that it is beneficial.
Well, I was just going to say, I think another, to me, important piece has been not judging myself for having those thoughts. They come, and somebody has told me that the secret to a happy life is whatever happens, you say, I'm okay with that. And I practice that a lot during the day when things happen. I'm okay with that. Even if it's something I'm telling myself that I don't want to tell myself, but to just let it be all right to be there, because really we are who we are, and we're all trying to learn to be better and kinder.
Mm-hmm.
And so doing that with non-judgment gets us there, I think, easier of
yeah.
ourselves.
That's a really big one, because especially when you're doing these exercises can be really fun, these concentration meditations, because you're sitting there just trying to concentrate on just trying to breathe, right, and count. I mean, how hard is that? I'm breathing, I'm counting, how difficult can this be? And then this thought pops in, which you know, and it doesn't matter. Maybe it's something great, you're thinking about, you know, becoming a famous doctor and curing diseases, or maybe it's something terrible, you're thinking about, you know, going and smacking your sister in the head for something she said, right? And whatever the thought is, but then the problem is you have that thought and then you go, I'm a terrible meditator. I stink at this. This simple little thing I'm supposed to be doing, I can't even do this right. And then your mind's going off down this path of talking about what a terrible meditator you are. You're still not thinking about your breath, right? You're thinking about what a terrible meditator you are. So it's very important to just, when you have the thoughts, that like you just said, oh, look, I'm thinking about something else. Okay. I'm supposed to be thinking about my breath, so let me just put my attention back there. It's very gentle, just, oh, look, a thought. Okay, back to the breath. And when you start, you know, one of the first things, if you can do that, is to not give yourself a hard time when the thoughts pop up. This is what your brain does. We're going to talk a little bit more next week about the mind and in this whole philosophy, what the view of the mind is. But part of what we're dealing with is the mind is, its job is to cognize, to be aware of things, to have thoughts. So, and this is an interesting thing too. I think there are two very interesting ideas people have about meditation. One is that it's just supposed to be spacing out, that you're not supposed to think anything. And I guess there are some types of meditation that are designed or intended to help you do that. It's very, very difficult when you think, or if you follow the idea that the purpose of the mind is to have thoughts. is to be aware of things. So what we're trying to do in this method is not clear your mind of everything, but have your mind just focus on one specific thing that you choose, like your breath. Right? It's going to think. You're going to have thoughts. Let's just decide what I'm going to think about. In this case, my breath. The other thing, interesting thing that happens, David McLeese, who teaches these classes, Meditation 101, leads these, he has a great story. He was leading a meditation class. He goes, so we have some people here at the center who go to some of the prisons in this state, and they teach the prisoners these meditation techniques. And the prisoners get very, very great benefit of this in terms of being able to control their anger, control their behavior, not get into more trouble than they're already in, have some more success when they get out in terms of being able to control their thoughts and their anger. So we have several center members who, like, once a week they'll drive halfway across the state to go, you know, and David's one of these people who teaches in these prisons. And I'm pretty sure I have this story straight. I'm pretty sure he was the one that said this. Is he was, you know, in this room teaching this same course to this group of prisoners, and they did the first meditation, and they got done. And he said, so, you know, what do you guys think about that? And one of the guys said, so when's it going to happen? And David said, well, what? The guy's like, I don't know. I just expect something to happen. I mean, isn't there going to be some kind of thing great? You know, he was expecting, like, flashing lights and, you know, who knows what else. So that's the other thing we think about meditation, is that we're going to have some, you know, really interesting cosmic experience. And, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I've heard that there are very advanced types of meditation where you have these very interesting experiences. I don't know anything about them. But again, what we're trying to do here is pretty simple. It's pretty straightforward. Say, yes, my mind thinks. That's what my mind does. So let me choose something to think about, and let me see if I can keep my mind just on that for a little while. And you got to be gentle with it. You know, another one of our center members, Andre, he's great. He teaches these courses too. He says it's like training a puppy. You know, it's like training your mind to focus on one thing is like training a puppy. You say, sit. You push the puppy's rear end down and lift the chin up, and you say, sit, and the puppy starts walking off. And you very gently take the puppy, put him back, sit, and the puppy goes wandering off this way. And so you just have to keep doing it very gently over and over. You know the puppy is going to get up and walk away. You know the puppy's not going to sit. And that's the way your mind is. You just have to gently continue bringing the puppy back and getting him to sit. And eventually, you get some progress. All right. Any thoughts about that? You guys want to try another meditation exercise? Okay, we're going to do another one. All right. So, and if everybody needs to get up for a moment and stretch and move around, why not? Let's take a minute and do that. If you need to get up, reach up, stretch, move around, wiggle, whatever. Always, a lot of our teachers always say this, if you're meditating, you know, you might start off just doing these little short 5 or 10 minute meditations in the beginning, and then maybe as you practice, you start doing longer and longer, and it's totally fine if you're uncomfortable to get up and move. You know, if you decide, oh, I'm going to meditate for a half hour today, you work your way up to that. I mean, if 15 minutes through, you're terribly uncomfortable, don't sit there and be uncomfortable. Get up. Move. Excuse me. So we'll start about talking about what we call the 7-point meditation posture. So a little bit more specific discussion of how you actually sit when you're meditating. All right, so if you're sitting in a chair, like we said, it's pretty simple. If you want to sit cross-legged in a chair, that's fine. If you're sitting with your feet down, then try to have a cushion or something on the ground. Either if your feet touch the ground, that's great. If not, then if you need a cushion or something to put under your feet so that your feet are resting on the cushion, you don't want your legs dangling. Excuse me. If you're sitting on a cushion, there are options. So due to the fact that I've done a lot of things in life that involve stretching, I can sit like this. Totally not required. This is called a full lotus position or Vajra Cross, where you have your feet sitting up on top of your legs. They say that in really advanced stages of meditation that this is a more positive or a better way to sit because it's, you know, just better for your energy and thing. I have no idea. I just sit this way because it's actually more comfortable for me. If you haven't done a lot of stuff that involves stretching and stretch your legs out, it's just probably not going to be comfortable for you. And don't try to do it if it's not comfortable. This is for me, and my legs don't fall asleep when I sit like this. So that's why I do. Another way to sit is what we call a half lotus. So where you just have one leg resting on the ground and the other leg sitting on top of your lower leg. Okay? Or you can just sit in a cross leg position like this. I think one of our nuns calls this crisscross applesauce. If that's comfortable for you, do that. So the important thing is whatever's comfortable. It's not like you have to do, like I said, the only thing that I've heard people say about even this posture, which is supposed to be the ideal one, they're talking about stuff that's way, way far advanced of anything I'm doing. So like I said, I sit this way because it's comfortable. Whatever way is comfortable for you is best. Again, sitting on a cushion, sometimes I use two, but sitting more towards the front of the cushion, two, having your buttocks raised above your legs, where your legs are resting on the ground, that helps keep your spine straight, and that can help keep your legs from falling asleep, too. But again, the important thing is, you know, you don't have to sit on the cushion, you don't have to sit on the ground. Sitting on a chair is totally fine, too. The important thing is to be comfortable. So your arms. In this tradition, what we normally do, you can have your hands sitting on your lap or on your knees, whatever's comfortable. What we normally do in this tradition is you take your left hand and you rest your right hand. I'll stand up to do this. It's a little easier to see. You have your right hand resting, your palms up, your right hand resting on your left hand with your thumbs just very gently touching, not pressed together hard, just your thumbs very gently touching. Okay, and then let your hands just rest in your lap. Let your arms rest on your legs, whatever's comfortable. It's also helpful to have your arms, I love this word, akimbo. So your arms a little bit away from your sides so that some air can circulate. Don't have your arms like really tight against your sides. Just let your elbows, let your shoulders relax a little bit. Let your arms fall away from your sides a little bit so that there's a little bit of ventilation, a little bit of air moving around your body. So your back, again, the back is the most important. You want your back straight, not rigid, but just straight. Some people think it helps to think of your back like a stack of coins or a stack of blocks stacked one on top of the other. Some people will say, imagine that you're, like I said earlier, a puppet or a marionette. You have a string coming out of the crown of your head, not the very top of your head, but a little bit farther back, like straight up from your spine, up here. A little bit farther in the back of your head. And imagine being lifted by that point. So you feel like you're kind of supported by your spine. Very upright position. Shoulders back a little bit. Not tight back, but just pulled back a little bit. Kind of a very, called a regal position. Very regal position. Again, with your eyes, some people find it easier to concentrate with their eyes closed. Some people, that's distracting. They prefer to have their eyes open. Ideally, they say if you have your eyes just barely open, your gaze kind of directed just past the tip of your nose, so you're kind of, your gaze is directed like maybe it would be 6 feet out in front of you or so. Not really looking at anything. Your eyes are just open enough to let a little bit of light in. And not really focused on anything. So your jaw and your mouth should be relaxed with your teeth slightly apart. You don't want your teeth clenched. Your lips together, but your teeth just slightly apart. And you want to have your tongue resting just behind your teeth, on the roof of your mouth, just behind your front teeth. the tip of your tongue resting on the roof of your mouth just behind your front teeth. And so this reduces the need to swallow, reduces, if you're really getting into a really good meditation, reduces the tendency to start drooling. So that's why you put your tongue there. It can hinder your ability to concentrate if you don't do that. So your head should just be inclined slightly forward, just enough to gently direct your gaze downward. And you can experiment a little bit. You can lift your head up a little bit, lower your head a little bit, and find a position that just feels comfortable, natural. Slightly lower your head, raise your head, and you'll find it just kind of settles into a position. It should be a position that's just gently directing your gaze downward. So again, sitting in this posture, going to pay attention to what's going on in the room around you for a moment. Any noises that you hear, sensations, air moving, hot, cold, warm, cool. Bring your attention to your body, direct your attention inward and how you feel. Comfortable? Any areas of tension or discomfort? Adjust a little bit if you need to. And just notice how you're feeling. Just breathe naturally. Focus your attention on your breath. Notice your breathing. Just be aware of your breath. Again, we're going to create an altruistic motivation. Think about your reason for doing this meditation. Doing something good for your mind, something that's going to benefit you. Maybe even help you be of benefit to others. So again, you're going to focus your attention at the opening of your nostrils. Just as we did last time, notice the sensations as the air passes. Maybe you feel the small hairs in your nose move. You might notice cooler sensations as you inhale, maybe slightly warmer as you exhale. And again, we're not going to follow the air all the way into your body or all the way out into the surrounding environment. Just placing your attention, resting your attention on the sensations of the air moving at the opening of your nostrils as you breathe. You might even think of yourself as a gatekeeper. You're just watching the breath flow past as it enters and exits. You're just very keenly observing, like a guard at the gate, watching the air pass, observing the air pass in and out through your nose. And if it helps you concentrate on this area, on your breath, you might mentally note in as you breathe in, out as you breathe out. That helps you concentrate. And if not, then just silently focus on your breath. So this time we're not counting. Just watching the air pass, observing the air pass in and out through your nostrils. Again, distractions are normal. Your attention might be distracted by a thought, maybe some external sound or sensation, some sensation in your body. So as soon as you wake up to this and realize that you've been distracted, gently, without any further discussion with yourself about it, rest your attention back on your breath. Gently bring your attention back to your breath. Take a moment to think about all the good you're doing by doing this exercise, doing something to benefit yourself, something that also may help you be of more benefit to other people, having a more focused mind, calmer mind. Dedicate that thought to the benefit of all beings. And when you're ready, gently bring your attention back to the room. this is called the bare attention exercise, where you're not counting the breaths or anything. You're just noticing your breath, just letting your attention rest on your breath. Noticing whenever any thoughts pop up and just gently bringing your attention, any thoughts or distractions, bringing your attention back to the breath, back to the object of concentration. So anyone have any questions about that last meditation, about anything we've talked about? Any questions? Comments? Yes. You go.
Maybe I'm the only one that had this problem, but I kept wanting to try to go to sleep.
Found yourself trying to go to sleep?
Yeah.
You're probably not the, I can tell you, you're not the only person in the world who's ever had that problem. whether in the room tonight. So something, I mean, there are a few different ways. There are a few, it's very interesting, you know, if you look at this whole system of meditation, you can tell that people have been doing this for a while and have had all the same trouble that we have, because they come up with specific, you know, shorter meditations that you can do. So in other words, if you find yourself drowsy and falling asleep, there's a specific, you know, short meditation you can do to bring your awareness up. If your mind's too distracted, there's one you can do to bring it down. But one of the simple things that someone told me that you may find helpful is, if you find yourself feeling a little drowsy, try lifting your chin a little bit, raising your head a little bit. If you find yourself a little too scattered, you know, your attention, you're too easy to think about other things, try lowering your head a little bit. So just a simple thing that you can do, you know, physical, very strong connection between our bodies and our minds. So sometimes small things like that will help you do that. We'll talk about a couple other types of meditations that you can do. If you want to do something like this, maybe you want to try and sit for maybe 10 minutes and do a meditation like this. There are some things you can do in the beginning to, you know, get your mind in a little bit of a more neutral state where you're not maybe feeling so tired or feeling so excited. Yes?
My question is about the visual imagery. Are you, is it more conducive to try to have, you know, not see anything or see blackness, or, you know, see your breath in your mind's eye?
That's an interesting question. And so there's nothing in this particular meditation, that actually kind of means the same thing, believe it or not. In this particular meditation, there's no specific requirement that you are visualizing anything. There's no specific instructions about visualizing anything. So what I would say is, if you feel like any visualization you're doing is very much focused on your breath and helping you keep your awareness right there physically at the opening of your nostrils, that's probably a good thing. If you find, though, that the visualization, any visual imagery you have in your mind is distracting, and you're actually focusing more on that, and you say, oh, wait a minute, I'm not really focusing on my breath anymore, then that's a distraction, something you should just let go and bring your attention back to your breath. Does that answer your question? I'd say that's how I would evaluate that. Anybody else? Anything else? Yes, sir.
This is maybe a question more on terminology or anything else, but I heard the term mindfulness and meditation. And
difference.
And sometimes I've heard them called something different.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes they seem to be very similar.
So mm-hmm.
Can you comment on that?
Sure. Yeah, it's a very good question. So what we say is mindfulness, and again, this is just a definition that we use in this tradition. Mindfulness is specifically like awareness. So I think the gentleman, what you were saying earlier about, you know, you kind of, all of a sudden, you kind of realize that you're not counting anymore, right? That you're, you know, the counting has gone away. That's mindfulness. It's awareness of what your mind is doing as you meditate. So it's kind of interesting, because there are some meditations that are geared more towards mindfulness, I guess. Also, there's a huge amount of scientific research and medical research into meditation that's come out, just like in the last, I mean, really modern science has only been focusing on meditation for the past few decades, like since maybe the 60s and 70s. But there's a huge, huge amount of research that's come out showing benefits, physical and psychological benefits of meditation. So a lot of you know, companies now are hiring people to come in and teach these classes to their employees, or, you know, people in medical professions are teaching this to their patients. Except if you say meditation, people go, I'm not joining a cult. I don't want to do that, right? So we call it mindfulness, and then it sounds better. So mindfulness is a, maybe I shouldn't say that. Is that a secret? Mindfulness is often a term that they'll use when what they're teaching is the same thing we're doing here. It's a breathing exercise. It's a focus exercise. It's a concentration exercise. So sometimes mindfulness, breathing exercises, meditation, they can be used interchangeably. What we specifically talk about here when we're talking about mindfulness is awareness. So it's that part of your brain, a set of thoughts that's aware of what's going on and aware of, am I focusing on my breath or am I thinking about pizza? You know, what's going on? That's mindfulness. That in itself isn't necessarily meditation. It's not even, and it's very neutral. It's a very neutral thing. It's not even necessarily beneficial in itself. Like our teacher Geshe Gelug says, even a thief has to be mindful. Right? If you're going to be a good thief, you better be very mindful. So it's awareness. That's what mindfulness is. Good question, though. Okay. Any other questions? Do you have a question? Is that? No? Okay. All right. So you have homework. What I suggest, and again, it's voluntary homework, but if you really want to try to do it, if you really want to try to do the homework, then make a commitment right now to yourself. You don't have to tell me, you don't have to tell anybody else. And just make a commitment to how many minutes of meditation you think you can do each day. 5 minutes is great. You know, if you think you can find maybe 5 minutes on your lunch break, they say first thing in the morning is a really great time to do it. So whatever, wherever you can fit that in your morning routine, a lot of people would say like as soon as you get up, if you can go sit in a quiet place and meditate for 5 minutes. For me, it's as soon as I get up and I've had a cup of coffee, then I go sit in a quiet place for 5 minutes. If the evenings really work better for you, that's okay too. But, you know, try to think right now, when can I do it? When's the best time for me to do it? 5 minutes, 10 minutes is plenty. 10 minutes is more than you need. 5 minutes of one of these exercises, either the bare attention exercise that we just did or the counting the breaths that we did earlier. So think about that just for yourself, for your own benefit. Try to make a little commitment to yourself right now that you're going to do that. And maybe it's, you know, 5 days out of the next week. Maybe it's every day. If you can do it every day, that's great. So we do have handouts. I wrote up here on the board, and if you need to come up and look at this, that's fine. It's hard to see from the back. The website, specifically the part of our website that's about this class, this kadampa-center.org/meditation-101, that page, if you go to that page, you'll find handouts for this course. And the handouts are basically the meditations that we're leading you through. So you can find the handouts for sessions 1 to 3, and it'll have these meditations written down. And so you can actually sit there and read them as you're doing them to remind yourself. If it helps, you can record yourself. You can like read them on to yourself on your phone and then play them back or whatever. If you'd rather just sit there and do it, well, somebody else, you know, says it to you. But yeah, you can get those, download these handouts for the course and read the actual meditations that we're doing. There's also a book. You don't have to get the book to come. You can keep coming if you don't have the book. But the actual, the kind of considered the textbook for this course is called How to Meditate by Kathleen McDonald. And so it will have a lot of the meditations that we do in here, along with a bunch of other really, really interesting ones that we don't do. But those are available for sale out in the bookstore. So we'll finish up with a couple things. Just kind of quickly, just take a moment to just think about, you know, any benefits that you think you have obtained by being here. You know, maybe you learned a few new things that are just interesting. Maybe you learned a few things that you're going to practice that will maybe help you have a calmer mind, a more focused mind. Maybe be a little bit happier person. Not so quick to react to things eventually if you practice this a little bit. And maybe that will allow you to be a benefit to other people as well as yourself. So take a moment to just kind of have that aspiration, that wish, that what you do here this evening, what you've done already, will be of benefit to you and to others. And the last thing I'm going to do is a quick little commercial. I'll keep it short. As Jill mentioned when she first came in, so we don't charge anything for these classes. And actually, there are quite a few Western Buddhist centers and meditation centers that do charge. If you want to come to a class, it's $15 or maybe just a recommended donation. So everything that we do here is paid for by voluntary donations. We're part of a larger organization, the FPMT. They don't send us any money to run the center. So we pay the bills, we pay to keep the lights on, pay the mortgage and everything through donations. If you feel like donating, if you want to do that, great, wonderful. We're very grateful. There's a donation box right outside the door, another one by the front door, or you can go on our website. And those are always helpful if you feel like it. Another thing, I'm going to put a little plug in, and again, this seems a little weird maybe because some of you might be here for the first time, but a lot of people are surprised when they come here for the first time and they realize or they learn that almost everything we do here running this entire center is done by volunteers. We actually only have two paid staff members on the entire staff. When I first started coming here, I started coming to a bunch of different classes, and I learned a lot by coming to the classes. But when I started volunteering here, I met some really incredible people. There's kind of a small core group of people who do a large percentage of the work, and they're really awesome people. And so some of my closest friends right now are people that I met through volunteering here. So if you have any interest at all in helping out, we have big chores and small chores, things you can do just one time, or things that we need on an ongoing basis. If you have any interest in that at all, maybe not tonight, but if you start coming, you come to a few of these classes and say, sure, I'll lend a hand every once in a while. You can shoot me an email or talk to me after class, and I can get you set up with the right people. But it's really fun. I mentioned it because, yeah, we always need the help. But it's really fun, too. It's a nice way to meet some great people and nice way to pitch in, other than, donations. It's a nice way to pitch in and help us keep this place running. So if you have any questions about that, any interest in that at all, let me know. If you have any questions at all about the class or anything you want to know more about, I'll stick around for a little while afterwards and happy to answer any questions. If you want to come and take a look at any of this stuff, it's not like all holy and everything and you have to stay away. You're more than welcome to come up and ask questions, take a look at the stuff on the altar. And thank you all very much for coming. Hopefully we'll see everybody next week.